Today's sponsor is Home Theater Solutions. Absolutely love these guys. HTS is your local technology expert, serving Delaware for 16 years. Home Theater Solutions specializes in TV installations, home automations, Sonos audio systems, security cameras, and Wi-Fi networks. For all of your home and business tech needs, give them a call, 1-800-690-2029, or visit htsav.net. All right, welcome back. This is the Rehoboth Social Podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning, good morning. It is February the 7th, 2022, the beginning of the second month. I really feel like a change in the weather, sort of a heat wave. Good morning, good morning. How are you, buddy?
I am awesome, brother. How are you?
You look awesome.
Thank
Came across
you.
The parking lot beaming.
That's right.
Get your vest.
That's right, man.
You're like stuck between weather patterns.
That's right. I'm ready for next month.
You are?
Yeah, man.
Are you a summer, winter, spring?
No, I'm actually a late spring, early summer kind of dude.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's too hot and
that's
too,
right.
and too
that's
cold
right.
on the yeah. bookends of
yeah.
both.
Yeah. And, yeah. and then I look forward to, you know, autumn.
Well, let's introduce yourself. So, yeah. Jose
Quiñones.
Jose and it's Quiñones. Just like the guy on TV.
That's right. John Quiñones, man. No relationship.
Jose Quiñones. That's How right. are you, man?
Phenomenal, brother. How are you?
I'm doing great. Had a nice run this morning.
That's awesome.
Suffered a little. I always say
I like to suffer a little. That's
well,
right.
Well, you're not living unless you're suffering.
That's right, brother.
Do you believe that?
Yes, 100%, man.
There's some truth to that. And whenever I say that, people are like, I think they relate suffering with like a dog being hit by a car. That's and right. that... Suffering to me is basically really doing what self doesn't want to do.
That's right.
And that's a lot.
Disciplined.
Disciplined. Well, it's also my cookie consumption might have pressed the run this morning because the kids wanted cookies last night and the count wasn't good this morning.
That's
it, was,
right.
it was a bad night.
That's right.
So we hit the trails around with my buddy Brian Kelman, who owns Lewis Cycle Sport. Excuse
okay.
me. If you need a bike, go see him. He'll take care of you.
Awesome.
He's a great guy. And, so my day does feel good. I got it off on the right foot, and I was excited about this podcast. And I will tell you, I did a couple podcasts in the last couple weeks, and your name keeps popping up. And then, so, Billy mentioned you, Billy Lucas from uh-huh. Tacoreho, and then Matt Kearns.
Yeah, awesome guys.
He's the one that sent me your name.
That's what's up.
And then I'm like, okay, let me check it out. Uh-huh. So I go in and I realize that I had already sent you a message.
Oh, you did?
So okay. something about you grabbed my attention early on.
Awesome.
I call you guys the Instagram hustlers.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's
so
right.
I reached out and then you finally reached out and here you are. And I think I already feel this is going to be an awesome conversation.
Yeah, it is, man.
So tell me about yourself.
So my name is Jose Quiñones. I am from Puerto Rico. I came over when I was around 12, 13 years old.
Nice.
My parents grew up in New York City, and my earlier part was spent in Puerto Rico, came over, lived in the Bronx, Brooklyn, New York. And when I was around 25 years old, migrated to the great state of Delaware.
Nice.
And I was a single dad, raised my kids here, the Cape region, for 17 years. My background is counseling. I've worked within the prison systems of Delaware. My specialty is working with men addicted to substances. That's what I did. And then I speak Spanish. So for years, anybody that spoke Spanish and got a DUI, they saw me in Sussex County. And then I would say around 9 years ago, you know, I was starting to get burnt out.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough.
Well, and it's tough because it sounds like you're dealing with, and I've been on both sides. You know, we were talking a little bit. I told you that I celebrated 13 years in December. But I've been on both sides.
Yeah.
And I've been on the side where I've had to go to counseling, mandatory counseling.
That's right.
And, you know, people say, well, how'd you get sober? How'd you do it? I wanted to, right?
Uh-huh.
And every time prior to that, I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't want to get that program does not work.
That's right.
AA or something, whatever it is, does not work.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality was I just didn't want to get sober. So it didn't work.
Yeah.
And then when you finally, whatever the path is that you get to where you finally surrender, I would suppose that would be the right word, yeah. wave that white flag, all of a sudden it's not that difficult, especially when there's people like you out there and all these other programs that are people just waiting. I mean, you probably work with 10, you probably struggle with 9, and you got those one or two that are like really willing, and hopefully that's what keeps you invested in it.
I tell you, you used the word that keeps me alive, which is surrender.
Yeah.
I that's in every facet of life, that if you want to get to the next level, you must surrender. In my relationship with my wife, in my relationship with my children, through my work, my business partners, you must surrender in order to get to that next level of whatever you're seeking.
Well, I identify as a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility.
Yeah.
And I can't drink.
Yeah.
And I can't eat too many cookies on a Sunday night. But, right. you know,
yeah.
that's what my issue is. I'm self-centered. Yeah. I do what self wants.
Yeah.
When I come to that fork in the road, I pick the side, usually up until a point, luckily I've gotten better, but uh-huh. it's what I wanted.
Yeah.
Not like think it through, give up. Obviously, the outcome's not going to be good. Let's not go down that path. We say, no, I go for it anyway.
Yeah.
And, I, you know, even in that, you know, whether it's an NA program or an AA program, and I don't want to keep that anonymous and stuff, but, you know, we admitted the second word in that first step for a lot of these programs is surrender.
That's right.
You know, you can, I don't know how many words say the same thing as surrender, but admitted, give up.
That's right.
You know, that's all humility.
Yes.
It's the second word defining really what most of, not whether it's, I'll speak for myself, my issue was is that I lacked it.
Yeah.
And people whisk right by that word. But it is the key. You know, I say, because I've talked to a lot of people that are, you know, whether they're struggling or whatever, and I say, listen, if you want to kick and fight on every freaking turn of the path of recovery, you might as well just use.
Yeah.
Because it's about surrendering, the high road.
That's it, man.
And I love how you mentioned that, whether it's family.
Everything.
You know, I had a relationship with my father that, you know, we would both agree that neither one of us were taking the high road. And as life goes on and things happen and we get older, you know, at some point I said, listen, let's just surrender this ego battle.
That's right.
And just enjoy the rest of our lives, because you're not going to be around here that long, Dad.
I got this saying that said, you know, that I tell people, I'm 51 years old. I know for a fact that I have lived longer than what I got left. Right. Yeah. I might live to 120 right. years old, but I know that by the time I get to 80, I'm not going to have the energy I have now.
Yeah.
I do not want to waste another moment. And I want to be consistently reminded of that through my actions. Even right now, I am laser focused on this conversation. I want to make sure that I'm in any event experience that I enter to, that I make sure that I'm the one that leaves the table providing the most value. And the way that I do that is by smiling and having fun and being as honest as I can with myself. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, I'm the same way. I'm, you know, people, you know, they're like, well, like you did, how'd you get this set up? Mm-hmm. I mean, how'd you get to this point?
That's right.
Just working at it one day at a time, that's quietly right. working at it. That's and right. next thing you know, we all end up at the same place, but yeah. some people don't have any work behind them, and some people have a lot of work behind them.
That's
and
right.
it's luckily, I love doing this. I love being focused.
Yeah.
I love, you know, this opportunity to chat with people. I can already tell that I'm gonna love this conversation
yeah.
because it's. I feel like you and I are on the same page.
We are.
You know, I'm 53. Yeah. You're 51.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if it just happens at our age.
Yeah.
But at some point, we're like, this could be a little softer and easier.
Yes. Surrendering, right? Because, I mean, I just got tired of getting beat up. But then when I realized, it was my own hand.
Yep.
Most of the time, it was my own hand. And when it was someone else's hand, I paid a part.
Mm-hmm.
So what I've realized.
It goes back to accountability.
That's right. You know, so going back to my story, right? In 2000, I got married in 2008. You know, I was a single dad for 17 years, you know, raising my kids. When my youngest was getting ready, you know, to leave the house, I met a phenomenal young lady. We got married, you know, living paycheck to paycheck.
Mm.
2 years into our relationship, she was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. And that's, we know that, you know, that's that silent killer. So I remember being up at Christiana with her doctor. And while he was letting her know, well, you know, we're going to have to do a full hysterectomy and hopefully everything go right, you know, we can remove this. All I was worried about was like, man, if she dies, I cannot even afford to bury her. I remember I felt so awful for feeling the way that I did instead of being there present with her that when we left there, I quit my job the next day, cashed out my 401k, paid off all her debt. And I said, you know, I'm going to ride this with you. Thanks God she's here. 8 months, she recovered, back to work, and then I was in the fork on the road. What am I going to do? I don't want to go back to counseling. You know, at the time, I was working for a phenomenal organization. You know, I was one of the supervisors at a local methadone clinic. You know, I enjoyed the work. I just didn't like the responsibility attached to being a counselor helping others. What do I mean that? So most people, if they listen to this, if you're a counselor and working for a nonprofit, you know that most of your work is record keeping. Mm-hmm. And I came into this to help people, right? But the record keeping, and then when you are a nonprofit and there's a grant associated to it, man, you know, you get 15 minutes to do that short, and after a while, you know, you beat up, you know, you see 9-10 people a day, it's impossible. And 8 hours, 9 hours. So anyway, so I remember sitting there and I said to my wife, hey, all right, I'm running out of money.
So first of all, is your wife okay?
Oh, she's phenomenal. Okay,
I want to make sure we clear that up because I'm already like worried about it.
Yeah, no, she's good, man.
So she's good.
She's good. You know, and through that experience, she found yoga. So my wife is a yoga instructor here in Milton. And now I found myself in that fork in the road. So I had a friend, I had about $19,000 left to my name from my 401k. And I remember a friend of mine said, hey, Jose, you know, that's when the economy was coming back up around 2012. Mm-hmm. Say, hey, why don't you just buy yourself an investment property in the western part of the county, man? You can pick up a house for like $9,000. I say, what? I bought my first house for $15,000. And I remember how easy that process was, and also the money that the realtor made, got my real estate license and haven't looked back. But I came into it with a strategy. I've always heard that the riches are in the niches. I speak Spanish. I've been for years, I was on a local Hispanic radio station, you know, just serving the community. I have a heart for serving underserved communities. And I've been appointed by the governor's, you know, to the governor's council on Hispanic affairs, human relations commissioner, all this stuff, serving communities. And I found myself getting my real estate license and focusing on serving the Hispanic community here in Sussex County that at the time was being taken advantage of, you know, mm-hmm. like through your faulty loans, just crazy stuff because they just don't understand. At the time, they didn't understand the process. And here I am. I started my own brokerage. I became an investor. You know, I have 26 of us, 26 agents to work with me. The majority are investors, young individuals who liked my vision. Mm. You know, and I tell you, developing strategic alliances to strengthen communities. Developing strategic alliances to strengthen communities is my mission, brother. That at the end
we'll
of
talk
the day.
About that.
So what do I mean by that? I'll tell you this. The name of my agency is Linda Vista Real Estate, which stands for Beautiful View. Where did that come from? That was the street that I grew up in Puerto Rico. We lived on an alley and working people. And most of the houses are two stories. And I remember when I went back to Puerto Rico for my grandmother's funeral, I'm sitting at the balcony, and all the balconies on this alley, they all face the same way. And that was, at that moment, I realized something, why that street was called Linda Vista. Because it was a very poor street, but every evening and every morning, they all had $1 million view of the coast.
Yeah.
So I made a decision right then and there that I would spend the rest of my life. Every day that I wake up, it's up to me if I'm going to have a beautiful view or not.
Yeah.
It's up to me.
How do you stay out of, because there are situations that people set up for us that we're saying, listen, Jose, this is $1 million view. This is what you should look at. And then we stop focusing on all the other stuff because it isn't $1 million.
You said it earlier. Surrender. Right? Surrendering. For me, it's discipline. Every day I have a morning ritual that even if I don't feel like it, because there are days, but I've done it so much. Okay, I'll give you a perfect example. When I wake up every morning, it's already a habit. When I put my feet on the ground, thank you. First thing, even if I'm having an awful, awful experience, which we do, which I do from time to time, I wake up and it's just that day. I don't feel like being Jose. You know, I don't feel like being happy. But I am at the point now that it takes me seconds to smack out of that.
Yeah. You can restart your day at any point.
That's right. I do my thank you. I have an app that I've used for years, Calm. Do my meditation in the morning.
Well, do you ever, I mean, it's always, it's like we're, you know, oh, for me, things aren't going well or something's not going as I thought. And all of a sudden now it's a bad day where, you know, depending on how you're looking at it, really that could be a great day.
That's right.
You know, sometimes, you know, ego or self, it loves to be happy.
Yeah.
Right. And. Yeah. You know, you talked about how you basically just cashed out, you know, and it's usually whether it's a fear of losing a loved one, shame, embarrassment. But when ego, right, takes that hit, that ego devastation, ultimate humiliation, then we're like,
oh. Yeah.
And then we're willing to, like, take a chance on something else, you know, cash out.
Yeah.
I think we just saw a lot of that with this pandemic, you know. Sometimes I wonder if we're supposed to live a different life. We're just born into this life and we get in line with the rest of the ducks and we're like, all right, you're going to go do this and then you do this. And then after you get done with that, the rest of us all did this. Then you get in this situation and then this is your life. And you're like,
You know, you say something like happiness. What is happiness? I understand. I do. This is what I do understand. Man, there's no specific definition of happiness. For me, happiness is going through the struggles of life and understanding why. Real talk. I finally, and I'm still not there. I'm still, right? Because, you know, I still got issues, but I understand that I will spend the rest of my life understanding that I'm happiness, because happiness for me is having disagreements and being the first one to say, all right, Jose, back up. What's going on here? It's not your issue.
What part do I play?
Exactly. You know what I mean? Understanding. And I think, I, as they say, I've drunk the Kool-Aid long enough. You know, because I'm going to tell you, I'm a black Latino living in the United States of America, best country on the face of the earth. I grew up in the inner city of New York in the 80s, brother.
Yeah.
And I think we are around the same age, man. It's Menudo. Remember Menudo?
Sure.
So I don't look like Menudo. There were a bunch of Puerto Rican kids, right? So here I come from Puerto Rico. I get dumped into the South Bronx, which was strictly African-American and Puerto Ricans, right? I don't fit none. I ain't listen to hip hop and didn't speak English, and then for the New Yorkans, I was too Puerto Rican.
New Yorkans.
So that's why New Yorkans is a subgroup of Puerto Ricans. Okay. Which, and I'm gonna break it down, right?
That's right.
New Yorkans, man, it's a whole culture in New York City where it's basically Puerto Ricans that have lived here for generations, right? And now, yeah, they eat rice and beans, but they also eat Big Macs and listen to hip-hop and listen to all kind of music, where Puerto Ricans, you know, they ain't Puerto Rico, man. We don't do all that stuff. So sometimes there's a clash there.
Yeah.
So, you know, I came over with, they used to call them cockroach killers. You know, I wore shoes, you know, everywhere, you know.
So they fit in the corner.
That's right.
People say, why do you call them cockroaches? Because they're pointy and they fit into the corner.
So for me, life has, if it hasn't been easy. I grew up in the inner city of New York in the 80s. By the time I was 15, my girlfriend was pregnant. By the time I was 18, I had 3 kids. By the time I was 21, I was a single dad.
So you say it hasn't been easy compared to what? Because that's what we tend to do. We compare. Do we compare to how bad it could be?
That's right. Well,
you know, I had my buddy Sarab in India.
Uh-huh.
I won't say it was a mistake, but I posted this meme, right, of this guy that had these two-liter bottles tied to his feet.
Yeah.
And I was like, God damn, you know, I'm so grateful. You know, I guess I'm grateful, right? Because it could be that. Uh-huh. And my buddy Sarab said, that's a luxury. And I was like, okay, so it even gets worse.
Right, yeah. In this society, right? So, but I've always known that I was better than my environment. Mm. Even when I was in the thick of it, I always knew that I was better than my environment, man. And Delaware, I tell people, Delaware saved my life. You know, I was never caught up in drugs or you know, like, I just like to work. And you know, as an inner city kid, I got in trouble here and there. But I came to Delaware because I knew that I didn't want my children saying about me what I said about my father. Mm. Does that make sense? So I came here. And haven't looked back, man. And I'll spend the rest of my life making sure. And we go back to the mission step of developing the strategic alliances to strengthen communities. That's all I'm about. Is how can I impact somebody else with grace, make them smile? I go around asking people, "Why did you smile?" Because I genuinely want to know. I know what makes me smile, and making sure that I play a part in leaving my community in a stronger place than where I found it, right? Because I know that there will be somebody just like me that's going to need that place, that's going to need that help. Or it's going, one of my agents just recently said, you know, Jose, man, you know, keep doing what you're doing because your journey is somebody else's survival guide.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, you know, I never looked at it that way, but that's what drives me.
Yeah.
That every day I am, how can I build a relationship? How can I impact somebody else that we can connect, collaborate, and enhance our communities?
Well, you know, it's all about building character.
Yeah.
You know, and if there isn't people like yourself getting involved with groups, kids, whether it's kids, young people, fellow agents, right? You know, I always say it's about creating character, because if we don't work on that, we end up creating characters, and characters are the one. I spent a big portion of my life as a character, and then, you know, you get beat up and you find your way, and then you start slowly building some character. And when we live in a town like we do in Rehoboth, and it is a community, but it's an interesting community because it's constantly changing. Rehoboth is a very interesting community. It's almost like Rehoboth by the beach, Rehoboth, and then you got Rehoboth, and then you have like the outskirts of Rehoboth and the little towns, but the influx of people constantly, you know, I mean, like in my neighborhood, I'm the only one that's in there, but I'm surrounded by houses.
That's right.
You know, they just come in for the weekends or for the summer. It's an interesting community. So trying to figure out that as well is a trip as too.
Yeah, yeah.
I say we live sort of like Disney.
Yeah. I'll tell you this. I love the beach.
Sure.
It just reminds me, another thing that I'll tell you, when I first, why Delaware? I remember that I came, it was 93, 94. A friend of mine said, "Hey, Jose, why don't you just come down to the weekend and visit?" I remember I jumped in a Greyhound bus on 42nd Street, Times Square, and it dropped me off. Many people are going to know this reference, Old True Blue. It was an old gas station in Seaford, Delaware, where Greyhounds used to stop. And he picked me up. It was probably around 11:30 in the evening. Mind you, prior to that, I have never been out of New York City, only when I first came.
Wow.
From Puerto Rico, right? And then I'm dropped off in that concrete jungle, right? And went through hell. And then I was 25 looking to escape so I can give my children a better life or a better experience or a better opportunity to survive. And he picked me up. I get out of the bus, and the first thing, I smell manure. Then I don't see no lights. In New York City, man, it could be 2 o'clock in the morning. It's lit up everywhere.
Sure.
No matter where you at.
Absolutely.
So he takes me to Del Mar, Delaware. So we went to sleep. I remember waking up the next morning. I smell coffee. I hear Spanish music that reminiscent of Puerto Rico. And when I look out the back door, all I saw was men working in the field. I'll tell you this, it was July. For a moment, I thought I was in Puerto Rico. And spent the weekend, went back, got a U-Haul truck. I haven't looked back.
Wow.
Now, I've lived in Milton, oh my God, since mid-90s. Love the town of Milton. Love Lewis. Love Rehoboth. And I plan to spend the rest of my life between here and Puerto Rico. So I love the beach. I love the transient nature too, man. Like, you know, once again, I'm an urban crawler, right? Another thing that I've come to enjoy about Delaware is that in one day, real talk, this is what I've done. In one day, I have left Milton, gone to D.C., Eastern Market, D.C., had a phenomenal time, come back home, check on the family, and go to Philadelphia for the evening.
Wow.
To hang out. That's the beauty of living here in Sussex County.
You really take advantage of the kind of the surrounding areas.
I get my fix. I don't see myself ever living in an urban setting again.
Right.
But they're still part of me. You know, my formative years were grounded in a city. I love it. And I can go get my fix and come back home and still continue to contribute to my local economy by doing what I do. I tell you this. As you can tell, I love to talk. I love to connect. But real estate has really transformed my life.
Wow.
I know for a fact that my grandchildren will benefit from the work that I've done. And that's amazing. Only in America, brother.
Yeah.
You know, my first broker, my mentor, he told me, Jose, we live in the only country in the world where you can go broke four times and rich five. You know, it's up to you. And that's something that I use on social media a lot. You know, go get what's yours. It's never too late. I was 44 years old when I said, man, I got to go get this.
Well, and this is kind of I think as a kid, I remember being taught, and my parents didn't teach me this. It's just me gathering thoughts and ideas. But, you know, always, like, I wanted to be a millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like that, a millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a tough goal. I mean, and it's a weird goal.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I think as a 53-year-old man now, uh-huh, I just want to have enough money to just make it through. Right? I don't need, uh-huh, to be a, yeah, millionaire. I've learned, uh-huh, that, you know, the more money you have, I think, unfortunately, the more issues you get.
Yeah, Biggie said that, right?
Yeah.
More money, more problems.
More,
right?
Problems. And so just trying to figure out how to balance to, mm-hmm, have enough to make sure my kids are okay and my wife and I are okay. But it's a strange goal, you know. Maybe being taught, you know, and it's weird with kids now, you know, we talk about a lot of mental issues and anxiety and, you know, a lot of medicines that are being put out there now. And, you know, I don't preach millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we preach prayer.
Yeah.
We preach humility.
Yeah.
We preach surrender. You know, when my youngest son, he has anxiety about school.
Yeah.
I had anxiety about school.
Yeah.
I would worry to death.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it would be a great opportunity to take him down to the pediatrician, get maybe some medication or something, typically what may happen. But I try to teach prayer. We pray about it. And you know, we don't ask for anything. We just recognize,
yeah,
and we give up.
Yeah.
And we say, listen, our shoulders aren't big enough.
Yeah.
And we make simple ideas like that. And, you know, I'll talk to his mom, and when Sam's worrying about something, she'll say, you know, Sam's like, can you pray with me? And he asked his mom if she would pray with him. You know,
that's
he works it out. These simple little things, because it's, first of all, millionaire, I don't think even is that great anymore, right? It's,
yeah,
like now you want to be a billionaire.
Yeah.
But I don't think that a lot of people are, I don't think we raise people in a way that makes them cut out for the journey.
Yeah.
It's a tough battle.
It
There's
is.
A lot
Life.
Of freaking work.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, it's easy to bail. And, you know, we talked a little bit, you know, we both knew Matt. One of the first things that Matt told me is that if you're a victim, you will never get better.
That's right.
And I was like, well, what does that mean? And, you know, I remember this kid it was in elementary school, and for some reason, his dog got hit by a car. And it just all kind of happened right in front of the bus. And I remember him going and looking up and going, why me, God? Like, he was a victim of this. And I, of course, it's sad, and I understood that. But, you really have to think things through to realize that we're really not a victim.
Yeah.
You know, and until we become accountable, we're going to, I guess we'll use that word a few times on this podcast. Mm-hmm. But until I realize what role I play, until we realize, you know, if it's anxiety, what is it about? Did you study? Did you show up? Did you do all the things that you were supposed to do? And if you didn't, then recognize what you didn't do and understand that we need to do that differently next time. You know, we all make mistakes, but just recognizing them, being accountable, and then moving on.
And that's another word for that is healing, right?
Yes, healing.
When we are able to look at ourselves, you know, I remember a psychologist. They brought in a psychologist one time to talk to us as counselors. You know, one of the things that I strongly believe on is that good counsel seeks good counsel. Basically, a good counselor has a great therapist, right? And I believe in therapy. And one of the things that we took away from his workshop was that at the end of the day, we are all accountable to each other by our actions.
Mm.
Dude, like, I don't care which way you paint that, right? Your action has a reaction.
Well, I always say, and this is a little wordy, but people like to participate with people that like to participate.
Yeah.
And when they don't want to participate, you know, you only give them so much effort.
Yeah.
You're like, listen, if you're not into it, at least I'm helping you. If you don't even care, I'm not helping you.
Yeah. So I'll tell you, you talked about how earlier, like in Rehoboth, there's, you know, like different groups and stuff. Well, I've seen that all my life, right? And but once again, I go back to the beauty of that we have here in Sussex County, man. You got a western part of the county, you got an eastern part of the county, man, and they are both so rich.
Yeah.
Like, once again, I'm so eclectic in everything. And, like, this time of the year, my wife and I, this weekend, you know what we did? We jumped in the car and we said we went off on an Eastern Shore trip. We wound up on Suicide Bridge on East New Market, Maryland, right? And what we do, we take Route 16, and every time we go, as we go up, we'll take a different route. We love the back roads of Sussex County, and what I love most, it leads you into the Eastern Shore, right?
You're heading like Talbot County now.
Yes, and then you come then here at the beach, you know, yes, it's transformed a lot, but it ain't going nowhere. Change is here, and I'm embracing it, making sure that the old is recognized and continues to be part of the fabric as we morph.
Yeah.
It's life.
Yeah.
And I am not going to stand and battle what? If I want decency is going to be me through my journey. An old preacher one time, I remember when I first met my wife, we went down to Chincoteague, Virginia. Little African-American church, right? And I'm struggling. I'm sitting outside, and the pastor comes over. He said, hey, preach the gospel, but only use words when necessary. Mm. Preach the gospel, but only use words when necessary. And I have taken that to heart. It's up to me the kind of world that I want to see. And sometimes I think that I must be smoking something or something, because I am in Fantasy Island, brother. Now, I'm a realist too, but I know that I play a part into every environment I walk into. And if that environment is too much for me, I'm out.
Yeah.
You know, life is too short for me to, I get involved civically. I play my part. But at the end of the day, at this point in my life, I only got very few responsibilities, which is to love my wife, first and foremost, be the best dad that I can continue to be to my children, and to honor those who have committed to me, my partners. Thus, at the end of the day, that's why. And I tell you, past 18 months have been life-changing for me. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I feel like we're kind of in this weird place in our society right now, because we've really strived to be the best fathers that we can be.
Yeah.
That's right. I'm not sure that it's always like, you know, very soft. We've become pretty soft, I think, as a community.
Oh, yeah.
And as, you know, you look at kids and, you know, I think as a parent, you're like, gosh, I just want to make my kids' life better than my life was,
mm-hmm.
right? And we want to give them more, and we want to give them more. And now, and you know, I'll use my kids as an example. You know, they got a pretty good life. You know, they got plenty of iPads and phones and Wi-Fi, and plus on top of that, we're at least for us, we live in a kind of a place where we're very nervous, right, because of what could happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't tend to let our kids do a lot. They end up staying in the house a lot, where you and I, you know, in this story you hear thousands of times, when I was a kid, we rode our bikes. When the sun came up, we were gone.
Yeah.
And we were home when the sun came down. You can't do that now.
Yeah.
I know you're not letting your kids ride their bikes until the sun comes down.
Well, I'll tell you this, man. I don't know. I'm real old school. I'm protective, but the only thing that's changed from my children that from when I was growing up is just the consistency and the loving.
Okay.
You know, that's just straight up talk. You know, I don't know what else to say to that besides that. That's when it comes to them. My only duty is to love on you. Act as a barrier, you know, to keep you as focused as I can while you are my responsibility.
Right.
And then at some point that stops and I transform to just being a counselor, right? Because you're going to have to go make your own decisions. So once again, I did. And now that's what I was going to share. I've been through this 3 times now. I raised my 3 kids,
mm-hmm.
got married with my wife. She couldn't have children, so we adopted. He was 18 years old, Trey, El Dude, as we call him. Now he's 16.
He was wait a minute, say that again?
So.
He was 18 months.
18 months when we adopted
him. I thought you adopted an 18-year-old kid.
So, right? So here we are, my wife and I. My wife works for the state. She got about another 7 years before, you know, she retires. So we like, hey, this kid in another 2 years, we like, okay, we can coast. And then in May of last year, my sister-in-law passes away. 38 years old, you know, and has 2 children.
Wow.
So we had to take custody of one. Here we 10-year-old. So this is my 3rd time, right? So here I am, 51. I got a 10-year-old home and her mother-in-law, my mother-in-law, who's sickly, moving with us. So the way that I look at that, and my wife and I have come to this is, once again, if you're God or whatever name you want to use, the higher power, at the end of the day, this was someone letting you know, I'm not done with you, buddy.
Yeah.
You know, so the way I look at this is another reason. The last 18 months and my brother within the last 12 months, well, it's been a little longer, got diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. This individual's been by my side since his entire life. He's my younger brother. But all this to me just shows that you are prepared for this middle passage that you are in. You are prepared, right? And you might sound like, man, this guy is full of that happy thought. No, I believe I don't have no other choice, brother. The other choice is why I'm going to be in the fiddle position sucking my thumb.
Well, that's kind of how we started this. It's like, why? How are we currently defining happiness correctly?
That's right.
You know, I mean, is happiness get everything you want, the convenience, the simpler life?
That's
dad was over last night. I go, you know, I feel like in general, civilization's not headed to a good place because, you know, it's like that movie WALL-E. You remember that movie where the little robots cleaning up our freaking mess? Well, we're up on a ship floating in floating chairs drinking milkshakes.
Yeah.
I feel like it's, and he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, it's constantly everything. I think we just want things better.
Yeah.
So that is happiness, and anything other than that is not happiness. And I'm the believer of, like, it's the opposite. You know, it's the redefining what happiness or satisfaction or gratitude mm-hmm. really is. And a lot of these things that we feel like are happiness, like a better car, more money, are a lot of empty stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
well, they seeking the same thing though, right? They seeking satisfaction, right? They're seeking peace. And some people just haven't found it. And that's what society is putting out there. But I also will tell you this. I'm a believer that there will always be a group of individuals just like you that are spreading the word, right? They are always consistently seeking. So even regardless of what happens or where this goes, man, there will always be a group of people, you know, in a farm somewhere where we might show up with our bags and say, yo, I'm here to be part and contribute. So I know that there is a dark world, but man, I can't focus on that, right? What am I focusing on right now? I tell you this, I don't even watch the news, man. In my house, we only got one TV, and this is why. Because I know for a fact, I have enough intelligent people around me that if something is about to go down, somebody's going to go tell me.
So
since I got them, I'm going to focus on me. I'm going to focus on good. I'm going to focus on becoming better. I'm going to be focusing on how can I play my part to make sure that when it's all done and said, I have contributed to my children, my wife, everybody around us. I believe that in my being, that at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. What are you doing for others?
Yeah, keeping your side of the street.
Does that make sense?
You absolutely. Know,
like, what are you doing for
Listen,
others?
Listen, if your whole life is focused on doing for you, it's going to be a miserable life.
Yeah.
You have to do it for others. You have to, you know, show up for others. You know, I'm involved. I've told you that I'm sober. This pandemic has allowed me to sit around and help nobody. And it's been pretty painful.
Well, you help him doing this, man.
I know, but I mean,
this is a big deal, man.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, it's. But my main purpose in life is to be there for the next alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing, you know. That program wrote that into the end of the whole thing is now having done all this mm-hmm. and changed your whole life. Your only job is now to have your hand out for the next alcoholic, because uh-huh. even that program knows I need to stay humble, or I will, if self comes back, I'll run amok.
Yeah.
And fortunately that I did have alcohol in my life, that I was able to get beat down, to get to a point where I could understand this. But a lot of people don't ever understand this. They just kind of suffer constantly seeking more happiness.
Yeah.
And never really being able to try to help others. And
yeah.
Yeah, I do. This is a big deal, and I do enjoy doing it. I have a lot of fun.
But, and you have a voice, right? But another thing, too, you faced that fear that most people, because there are thousands, possibly millions of individuals that want to do what you're doing and look at you as an inspiration, but it's always something that keeps someone at bay. So you crossed that threshold. I've crossed that threshold, and now there's another threshold in front of us. And I just want to make sure that I continue to take care of myself, you know? So now at my age, now I'm thinking about health, right? It's like, oh, I used to weigh 450 pounds, man.
Nice.
And I knew that, dude, you ain't nothing. You can have all these great thoughts. You can do all this stuff. But until you're taking care of that vessel.
Yeah.
Well, ain't weights, nothing jumping
weight's
off.
It's a challenge, man, because nobody's going to be able to tell you, hey, Jose, you should lose some weight, right? Because that hurts feelings.
But they'll tell you, but then what? You already know that. Right. I think it's, once again, suffering, right? Why? For me, it was the fear of suffering. Now, for the past 3 years, religiously, I have been at the gym 3 times with a trainer, just doing what I need to do. That's what I need, right?
No, it's good.
And for me, now it's become a habit.
Yep.
And going back to discipline. So it's just... it's ingrained. I know that I'll spend the rest of my life also fighting this fight.
Well, somebody waved a white flag at some point.
Oh, yeah.
And you said, listen, I can't do this anymore.
That's right.
Whatever I've been telling myself I think is working is not.
That's right.
I'm wrong, everybody. I've been wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm ready. I'm open for suggestions.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to follow them. Yeah. And that's a big deal. Congratulations.
Just like substances, right? Just like I knew years before I surrendered that I needed to surrender, you know. But habits, man, you get so accustomed to just living the madness, chaos.
Well, I don't want you to think that one day I just said, Jesus, vodka is exhausting to lift, because it didn't happen that way.
That's right.
I got my ass whooped at a bar.
Mm-hmm.
I got my lip split. Mm-hmm. I needed stitches from Dr. Angel over at BB Hospital, if anybody remembers him. I was humiliated. to a point where all of a sudden I became open to the idea of getting sober.
Understood.
And I didn't even want to get sober. I hid at BB for 5 days so I wouldn't have to explain how come I got my ass kicked again. Because I had a big mouth. And so my motivation wasn't even good at the time. There was nothing good about any of it. But somehow I got involved with a group of men that gave me the ability to see how they were examples to me of how to behave. And, you know, I was so broken and beaten up at that time and so lost. Just shaking someone's hand and looking at them in the eye and saying, how are you doing? That was driving down the road not drunk was, you know, amazing.
Yeah.
So it was just a great opportunity to be around guys as great examples. And we talked about Matt. Matt was one of them. You know, he was, he used to say, and this is kind of a funny story, but Matt, you know, when I got sober, I was like, you know, I need your help. And he goes, all right, I tell you what, call me tomorrow and we'll see where it goes. In fact, call me every day and we'll see what happens. And I was like, this guy clearly knows that I have something important to say and he must want me to tell him. That's just how deep I was up in my own, you know, caboose. And I remember I called him the first day. There was no answer. And I was like, well, something must be wrong, you know. Because I know that he knows that I have something important to say. Uh-huh. So he must be, you know, meeting with the president or something, you know. So I call him the next day. No answer. And I was like, okay. Maybe he's out of town or something. Call him the third day. No answer. And at this point, I'm like, F him. This is bullshit. He's pranked me. I'm so consumed in self that I can't think of another reason why he can't, you know, answer the phone other than it's because of me. And then on the fourth day, because I'm like, you know, I've been given a task. I'm an alcoholic. Yeah. I'm like, I've got it. I will not fail this task. Uh-huh. I call him on the fourth day. He answers. He's like, hey, man. I was like, hey, man, how you doing? Mm-hmm. I'm doing great. Call me tomorrow. Bye. And hung up. But you know, it would be, and you kind of hinted at something sort of like that, where you're kind of given this, you know, the least amount of words creates a lot of thought for me. And I started to really think. And what I realized is how self-centered I was, you know, and I would change. And I used to call it the seven number prayer, and I called it every day. And some days he wouldn't answer, so I would call him like real early so that if he didn't answer, I would create a reason like, oh, he must be sleeping.
Yeah.
Because it can't be me.
Yeah.
And it was just this interesting little relationship I had with me, myself, and I doing this seven-number prayer. And he was great about that. And I shared in the past, I don't even know if he knew. He was probably busy. I don't even know if he knew that he was creating this garden of weird thoughts that I would eventually start growing and start picking and start understanding, okay, this is self. All right, this is where I need to wave the white flag. You know, this is humility. Yeah. It was interesting.
Yeah. I got to work with him. We both used to volunteer for La Esperanza. It's a nonprofit.
And the nuns.
That's right. You know, and him and I, we were one of the kings on January the 6th. You know, we would, they would partner up with Toys for Tots and give out gifts. And he would be one of the, it was three kings, him, myself, and another gentleman named Fernando. We would do it. It's an awesome dude.
He was a great guy.
Yeah, man.
And yeah, I miss him every day. But, you know, we move on.
That's right.
And we can't be a victim to that. Mm-hmm. You know, we take what we got from Matt and, you know,
so you,
T's and P's.
That's right. You've lived in Sussex pretty much about the same amount of time I have.
A year less, but yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I actually lived over in Easton for a while. And it's funny that you mentioned that because my wife and I, we went over and stayed at that Hyatt.
Okay, we drove back there this weekend, and went into Easton,
It was amazing, and I'm like, you want to go up to Easton and eat? She's like, okay. So we'd get in the car, we drove over to Easton, we ate, we drove back to the hotel. I go, you know, and because growing up in Rehoboth, you're like, you get one trip, my one trip to Home Depot and back, and then I'm not driving anymore, right? But over there, it's like, you want to go to St. Michael's?
That's right.
Okay, so then we drive over to St. Michael's and we drive back. Uh-huh. And I'm like, you want to drive back to Easton? Sure. You really were free to travel about the land over there.
And the scene, man. It's a cool scene. They got the burger joint. Beautiful. You know, it's just so much happening, man. And that's what we are looking forward to the next few months. Because around spring, you know, everybody, right? That cabin fever. And it's just the Eastern Shore, right? Sussex County and on. It's such an incredible place to explore.
I wish we would do more with infrastructure here, and I know that that's a it's a interesting topic. But I mean, we could make some. You know, if we if 24 went straight across, unfortunately, we have the people's cemetery there, so that we'd have to figure out how to go over it or something. But if we had a road that went straight down 24 right into Lewis, and if the road that came by Acme and passed Dunkin' Donuts and straight into Lewis, and we just had more ways of getting around this place, we could utilize it a little more. It's not, you know, we live in this, we live down by the beach. We're moving. We're building a new house out here because you're a prisoner down there. Yeah. And I know that sounds like, oh, boo-hoo, but it is it is kind of a drag. Because
for somebody that's been here for a while, I can see that.
Well, and we've created a northbound traffic issue all of a sudden. We knew that our southbound was a mess, right? Especially like on Friday, Saturday, a little bit of north on the Sunday. But now we just seem to have a ton of traffic all over. And it's really just lack of infrastructure. We can't move the people around fast enough. And I know we like blaming like the building, and it's funny to hear in the real estate. You know, we want to blame all these builders. But someone's got to buy the house. You know, blame them. They're the people building are the smart people. You know, go yell at the ones that bought. I love this. This community wasn't here at one point, and then they proposed building this community, and the community next to it was like, no, don't build that community. We love the trees and the farmland. So what happens? They build the community. It fills up, and then they want to build another community. Everybody that moved into this community is now mad about the next community. I'm like, it's crazy.
I tell you this. I don't have the answer, but what I will tell
surrender
you.
Surrender is the answer. Shut up and sit back and enjoy.
I'm going to tell you, man, I'm coasting along. I bought me a 1965 Dune buggy.
Okay.
I have it over
glittery?
There.
Glittery?
Yeah, Rehoboth Auto Repair right now.
Is it sparkly and glittery?
Yeah, mine's is blue.
Nice.
Yeah, man. Remember from Shaggy.
Scooby-Doo.
That's right. So and I spend my time, especially in the summer, you know, just driving around and Coastal Delaware is it, brother. And yes, I know there's traffic issues, but I don't know. It might be the New Yorker in me, man. I'm all right with it. You know, it's part of what we now infrastructure. Yeah, some work needs to be done, but it's here. So I make the best of it. I get there early. I go to the Cape. Every Sunday, I'm at one of the beaches. I love the sunrise. You know, either from Brock Hill all the way to Cape, all the way to Rehoboth, Pond. So the beach is awesome.
Did you get your Delaware State beach tag?
No, I've never been. I don't. Once again, that's not something that I've. I got it 2 years ago and never used it.
I got it last year. Buggy. Never used
it. I don't want to put my. I'm not at the point to put the dune buggy on the sand yet, you know. So I just go into the state park, you know, park and ride my bike and get out and then go up and down Route 1. We'll go to Ocean City, Bethany. We like eating at all the local spots and having fun and then go back to Milton.
Yeah. Well, listen, I love Milton. I love having my salon here. Yeah. You know, I opened the salon 12 years ago. I used to call this the Island of Unwanted Toys.
Okay.
Because there was really nothing much going on in Milton.
Yeah.
And so over the years and the influx of all the people, now we're starting to see popularity grow in Milton, you know, because it's
the second Lewis, man.
It's the second Lewis. I call this Luton right here. This is half Lewis, half Milton.
Yeah.
And we could start something like that, right? Luton?
Man, I cannot. I love the town.
Lewis?
You know, downtown Milton. My partners and I just acquired a building down there by the river. I just love it, man. I see myself spending the rest of my life here.
Well, you know what? It's great because there's about 19 ways to get into Milton.
That's right.
You know, there's...
That's right.
Well, we've already discussed it.
Yeah. Dogfish. You know, jump on your bike, you know, and just go around town, outskirts. It's a phenomenal place. It's a walking town.
I love it. No, I'm a big... My in-laws live here. My... you live here.
Yeah.
That's two great reasons, right?
Yeah, brother. Appreciate you, man. This is awesome, man.
So what are you doing? I mean, you got a website? How can we find
you?
Because I know you're a social guy.
Yeah, I just opened up the I have an office in Rehoboth on 24, right next door to the courthouse, John J. Williams Highway, real estate, Linda Vista Real Estate, right across the street from Delaware Eye Care Center. And my website is lindavistare.com. I also do, as you know, I am Sussex. Yo soy Sussex. I go around interviewing local business owners and anybody that intrigues me. I pay for the whole thing, just like what you're doing here. I videotape. I got my own videographer in shop for my agents, myself, and just showcasing the greatness of Sussex County.
Right.
You know, you can literally spend the rest of your time, a year, going up and down these roads and still not get the full experience of what this place is.
Yeah, because you're too busy focused on the traffic in front of you.
Are you crazy?
It's traffic. Seriously.
So then go to the western part of the county when times get tough here, right? No. So when the traffic get heavy here, go to the western part of the county. Phenomenal, man. I don't know if you've experienced. Go to Laurel, you know. On back roads from Laurel to Delmar, Route 24 takes you all the way to Sharptown.
Yeah.
You'll find some amazing shops,
sure.
People, you know, Greenwood.
Strawberry Hill Farm over there.
That's
in Ocean,
right,
View.
Man.
Love her. She works with Matt Kearns.
Okay. That's right.
He's got his new,
That's my boy, man. He's a
What's the new, because he just, did he buy the restaurant?
Yeah, I just saw the post. That's right. He did. Yeah.
What's it called?
I'll tell you right now.
So yeah, look it up because I don't want to mess it up. But him and his wife look like they just bought the place.
Coastal One, I think.
Coastal One.
Let me get it right.
James Beard nominated. Matt Kearns, amazing guy. Been on the podcast twice, actually. Came with Helen and he came by himself. Just a great, great guy. But they're doing that. But I know that they're working with Strawberry Hill Farm. He's very passionate about farms, and fresh vegetables and fresh produce. And so that'll be exciting to see how that adventure.
Yeah, I gotta go check him out, man.
Yeah,
and also he's just a good dude, man.
He just looks like a good dude too. You're taking pictures of that's a good guy right there.
He said, yeah, I'm trying to get it, man. I ain't trying to mess up One Coastal.
Yeah, check out awesome. Matt. He's awesome. Matt,
yeah, he's doing some great things. And then what I like about Matt as well is he's all about the community, sourcing local, you know. And he's left that imprint in me. You know, I've hung out with him a few times. We've done some videos with him. He's an awesome guy, man. I can't say nothing but the best, man. And that's what Sussex County got to offer, brother.
Well, you know? And he said the same about you.
Oh, yeah? That's what's
yeah, up. Yeah, that's, yeah. Yeah, so you it's guys are both passionate about what each other's doing,
yeah,
which
man.
Is great.
Yeah, I get stoked. And then meeting you today, you know, I've driven by here. I've picked up pizza and everything here, and I didn't know you was right here, man.
I don't make a big deal of it. I really don't. I just, you know, I'm a big fan of Joe Rogan. I hate the fact of all the stuff that he's going through right now. Yeah. Apparently, he's been using the N-word.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
I can tell you, I've watched I don't think I've watched all 1,000.
Uh-huh.
But I can tell you, I've watched a giant chunk of Joe Rogan's podcast. I have never, ever heard him say the N-word.
Understood. Yeah. I've seen like when he was on Instagram, I would see clips, but I've really never listened to the podcast.
I just have never seen it. It really hurts my, it bums me out. You know, I don't feel like he's that kind of guy.
Understood.
I think he loves everybody. And he's just because of his popularity is getting nailed right now. And it's unfortunate.
So you say he's getting nailed.
Yeah, he's getting nailed right now.
Okay.
Well, he did a couple podcasts on vaccines. I mean, with like decorated doctors. And I remember the podcast, and I think some of the topics, one of them was that you can't catch COVID twice. I was even telling people that because I'd heard it.
Uh-huh.
I don't even know if that's even true or not true, but there are some people that are pretty passionate. And I think we're going to learn a little more about this Neil Young thing, about him having his music pulled from Spotify due to Joe Rogan's podcast. I'm not even sure Neil Young owns the music that he's having pulled down. I think it's...
So what are you saying? There's some... Man, I'm lost right now.
Okay. So Neil Young.
Uh-huh.
You familiar with Neil Young?
Yes, sir.
Crosby, Stills, uh-huh. Nash, and Neil.
Yeah.
He decided last week that he believes that Joe Rogan is being dangerous with posting anti-vaccine podcasts, meaning he's leading people to believe something that could injure them or kill them due to the COVID and stuff. And Joe Rogan's like, oh, I don't think, you know, I don't know. I don't know what Joe Rogan's saying, but this is the battle. So Spotify's like, so Neil Young's like, take my music down or take Joe Rogan down, but you can't have both. So Spotify took Neil Young down. They took his music off and a few other artists. And now a few other artists are coming. They want their music off because of Joe Rogan and his anti-vaccine podcast. And if anybody's watched Joe Rogan, you will know that he's not an anti-vaccine. He's not an anti-vaxxer. He is a person that wants to learn about things, have conversations about things, right or wrong. I don't leave his podcast going, boo to vaccines, right? You know, it's about health. You mentioned it. Yeah. You know, you had lost control of your weight. You had gotten to a point where you were even uncomfortable. Unfortunately, we have a big portion of our country that's like that, whether it's because it's just expensive to eat healthy. What do you mean?
You said that a big portion of the country is like
overweight.
Oh, understood. Gotcha.
Oh, unhealthy.
Yeah, definitely.
A big portion.
Yeah.
And, you know, those are the people we sort of have to protect. I don't think that if you are running and you're healthy, I think you can survive COVID.
Oh, yeah?
I do.
Okay. I don't know enough to get, talk about that, but I'll tell you this. I'm focusing on myself and my family.
There you go.
That's it, brother. You know, everybody has, that's why it's America, right? You have the freedom to disagree and speak your mind.
I hope we're not disagreeing.
Huh?
We're not disagreeing.
Who?
Me and you.
Oh, never.
No.
That's going to be impossible. You know why? Because I won't allow it. I can't. I'm not going to go down rabbit hole, brother.
The whole point of my story, really, was that the guy inspired me to start this podcast. I don't need to be, you know, the biggest podcast, but if I can sit in this room and shine a little light on small business, then I can do that.
Yeah.
I don't have to have a giant sign that says, look at, I'm a big podcaster. Going to your point that you didn't know I was.
That's
here.
Right, and I'll tell you this: when I work within the Spanish speaking community, when I first started, right, there's a lot of things that we, even here in Sussex County, that we can agree and disagree. One of the things that I know for a fact, we all want good neighbors.
Yeah,
and this is the real estate of me. We all want great neighbors. We all want great school systems, right, for our children. Whether you yellow, black, orange, whatever, and we want our property values to continue to rise, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to focus on them three, and that's what's going to keep me and you talking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's where I'm at. Once again, I'm not 20.
Or 30.
Or
40.
Wisdom,
or
right?
Or 50.
Has taught me that I'm going to focus on those three, and I'm going to go to my grave doing that, because that's what's going to allow me to sleep with a clear conscience at night instead of looking for buttons to push. Right. I could be home doing that.
Right.
Does that make sense? You Absolutely. Know, that's entirely where I'm at. Like I want to leave a living legacy behind me. And by
Would you be okay if you didn't?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Of course. But I'll tell you this.
Can't get crazy about that.
No, you can't. But it's a great goal.
Even if your legacy was to not be concerned about a legacy, well, that would be even a great legacy.
And that's still a legacy,
though.
Hey,
we're getting there.
You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, it's just about how am I contributing and how I am making sure that I'm honoring what's coming out my mouth.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
And all I want to do is just kind of show up. Matt used to say, I love this. He goes, as long as you're not smoking crack and paying for hookers, it should all work out.
That's right.
And, you know, I love to make something big out of everything. And I have to remember I am where my feet are.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as I'm keeping my side of the street clean and taking care of business, that's it should be fine.
Of course.
It should be fine.
No, it will be fine.
It will be fine.
It will.
It will. And if it isn't, I pray about it.
That's it.
And it's, this, you know,
right.
I surrender.
That's right.
And I turn it over and I just recognize that
and
my shoulders
are
big enough.
And that's how we started, right?
Like, that's right.
Surrendering. I'm not into locking horns, man.
No.
For what?
No. Let me help you.
That's right.
Let's go get some tacos. Well, listen, brother, I appreciate you coming on. I feel like you and I will do this quite often.
Nah, man, it's up to you. You let me know.
The door is always open for you.
I love it, man.
If you need to talk about anything, you want to share something you got going on,
let's do it.
Put a little light on anything, the door is always open. And always know you're welcome here.
I'll tell you this. Anybody looking to sell or buy real estate in Sussex County, give me a shot.
Give you a shout out.
That's right.
What's your Instagram?
Instagram is Ask for Jose.
Ask for Jose.
That's it. That's everywhere. And then you can even go to askforjose.com. And Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, the handle is Ask for Jose.
Well, I appreciate that.
Appreciate you, man.
I love it. I got a new friend.
That's what's up. Yes. Amigo.
Amigo. I'll talk to you soon.
Fair.
All right. Peace.
Peace, brother.
Bye.